The purpose of this class is to explain as briefly as possible the controversy that was raised up by Hamas, a terrorist organization, and the idea, the Jewish idea of a red heifer. I'm going to read you what the spokesman of Hamas said when it came 100 days in the war between the land of Israel and Hamas. He mentioned something like this, that he urged all the Arabs to go protect one of the mosques that is in the Mount of the Temple. And then he said like this, the bringing of red cows as an application of a detestable religious myth, this has to be explained, designed for aggression against the feelings of an entire nation in the heart of its Arab identity and the path of its prophet, the night journey, and ascension to heaven. These are the words that he said. What is he talking about? Now, you can imagine he was talking to an Arab public that probably has no idea of what he's talking about, red heifers and cows. And even if he was talking about in front of non-Jews, also have no idea what he's talking about. So the purpose here is I'm going to explain what's the red cow, this red heifer thing, and then why is he calling it a myth, and what does it really mean for the Jewish people and the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. First of all, in the Torah, in the Parsha of Chukas, in the book of Numbers, the chapter 19, there's a broad description, very long description, of the idea of a red heifer. What does that mean? When a person is impure, there are many types of impurity in Judaism. One of them is called impurity of a death body, of a corpse. If you touch a corpse, if you are in a room with a corpse, then you get spiritually impure. Today, nowadays, even myself, are all spiritually impure with this impurity. And it doesn't mean anything. It's no problem. Now, in the days of the temple, you could not participate in certain ceremonies if you were spiritually impure. So you had to be purified. What was the process of purifying a person of this type of impurity? So a red heifer was taken to the olive mount of olives, and over there slaughtered. The blood was taken into a thing and sprinkled in the direction of the temple. That means there was a pretty big distance between one mount and the other mount of the temple and the Mount of Olives. The blood was just sprinkled in that direction, and then this cow was burnt and made into ashes. Those ashes were taken and mixed with water from a very spring, very special spring, whatever. Then this water, together with myrtle, was sprinkled twice in a week, third day and seventh day, on the person that was impure, and he became pure. Now, not every time a person became impure, there was a whole process of a red heifer. No. There was a process of a red heifer. The ashes were stored away, and whenever a person needed to be pure, then he was sprinkled with the water and in the ashes, etc., etc. Now, this is the process itself. You can go read it yourself in the Bible, so to speak. Good. Hamas calls this a religious myth. Now, we have to understand, first of all, this is in the Torah. I just showed you the source. And this is pretty, pretty, very earlier than Muslim idea, than Islam. Second point is mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a book written around year 200 of the Common Era, before Islam ever appeared. Third point, the Rambam was Rav Moshe ben Maimon. He lived in Spain in the years 1100s, and he codified, he did not make up anything, he just codified the Jewish law. And within the Jewish law, he codified also this idea of the red heifer. And he explains over there, based on the Mishnah, the book I mentioned before, that there were actually nine processes in the whole story of the world, nine processes of red heifer. The first one was done by Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. The second one was done by Ezra, the one that rebuilt the second temple. And then from Ezra till today, there were seven processes until the destruction of the second temple. We're talking about 2,000 years ago. And we're waiting for Mashiach to come and do the ninth red heifer in order to purify everybody, and everybody's going to be happy. Now, hear these words, we're waiting for Mashiach to do the 10th red heifer. There's one group, very small group, in Eretz Israel, in the land of Israel, that they think that they have to do the red heifer in order for Mashiach to come. But this goes against the writings that I just quoted, against the Jewish law. Now, the process of the Red Heifer is not going to bring Mashiach. On the contrary, Mashiach has to come, and then he's going to do a few things that I'm going to describe to you in a minute. And one of those things is also the idea of the Red Heifer. Why? Because you cannot go to the Mount of the Temple if you're not pure. So you need to be pure. So how can you build a temple if you're impure? So you need to be purified first. But in order to build the temple, you need Moshiach also. So let's go read. I'm going to read for you the Rambam in a different place where he brings the different conditions that have to be fulfilled in order to build the temple. And he says like this, if a king will arise from the house of David, that means Moshiach has to be a descendant of David. And in a different place, the Rambam writes, he also has to be a descendant of Shlomi HaMelech, King Solomon. It's a very interesting thing because Christians have the idea that Moshiach has to descend from David but not from King Solomon, because Jesus didn't descend from King Solomon. It's a problem they have. Whatever, we don't have that problem. So if a king will arise, writes the Rambam, from the house of David, who diligently contemplates the Torah and observes its mitzvahs, its commandments, as prescribed by the written law and the oral law of David, his ancestor, will compel, this is the first thing, he has to be a descendant of David and Solomon. Second point, he will compel all Israel to walk in the way of the Torah. That's the second point. Third point, and will rectify the breaches in its observance. That means everybody's going to observe the Torah and the mitzvahs, and fight the wars of God. That means he's going to fight everybody that goes against the law of the Torah. We may, with assurance, consider him Moshiach. Is he Moshiach? We don't know. We can consider him Mashiach. If he succeeds, continues the Rambam, with the Avot, builds the temple in its place, and gathers the dispersed of Israel, the Jewish people go to Eretz Israel, to the land of Israel, then he's definitely Mashiach. Continues the Rambam. He will then improve the entire world, not just the Jewish people, the entire world, motivating all the nations to serve God together, as it says in Zephaniah, it's one of the prophets, in the chapter 3, verse number 9, I will transform the peoples to a purer language, that they will call upon the name of God and serve him with one purpose. Everybody together will serve God. This is what Mashiach means. What does that mean? That bringing the Rambam didn't mention the red heifer, you know? Did you hear the text? That means that the red heifer is not a condition for Mashiach. On the contrary, Mashiach has to come, and then he's going to have to do the red heifer in order to be able to go into the mount of the temple to build the temple. He's going to build the temple. That's what the Rambam is saying. And then gather everybody over there, all the Jewish people, and we're sure he is Mashiach. So there's no such a thing as red heifer attempting against the Arabs or the Muslims. Again, point number one, if you're going to call this a religious myth, you have a problem. Why? Because your religious myths are actually later in history than our religious myths. So if our thing is a religious myth, you know what? Yours also. And if your thing is not a religious myth, so don't call our thing a religious myth, because it doesn't make any sense. Our thing that you also learn, because you also have the same Torah and Bible, is actually from before your religious myth. That's point number one. Point number two, how can you justify attacking innocent people, violating women, decapitating babies, because somebody brought few cows from the United States into the land of Israel, and then that gives you the permission to... No. You're just trying to justify a terrible thing you just did, with no real justification. So what comes out of this for us? Point number one, when you have such information, when you receive such ideas, you have to check the sources. Go look if this is real or not in our sources. That's point number one. And point number two, Moshiach has to come in order to build the temple. That's what it says in the sources. Not the other way. Not build the temple and then Moshiach comes. Moshiach has to come. So what do we have to do? Each one of us has to observe their commandments. Jews have to observe 613 commandments, and non-Jews have to observe the 7 commandments and all the ramifications they have in order for Mashiach to come. And when he comes, even the Muslims are going to recognize he is Mashiach, as it says in Zephaniah. The prophet says this. Everybody is going to recognize him. Everybody is going to serve God. Everybody together. So what comes for us? We have to do our best in order to bring Mashiach. And then, of course, everybody's going to be happy to rebuild the temple, even on top of the mosque. Who cares? Everybody's going to be very happy. We don't need to go and break it. Mashiach is going to take care of it.